since 2005, July 2005, since the shooting of John Charles de Menezes on the 22nd of July 2005 at the Stockwell Tube Station. The artist Monica Ross, at that point, decided to challenge herself by memorizing the whole Universal Declaration of Human Rights and to recite it publicly. Today's performance, over 4 years later, is a collective recitation with 50 artists again reciting the entirety of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, on this occasion from collective memory.
And that first recital took place here at Beaconsfield. Naomi asked if you could speak a little bit about the relationship between yourself as an artist and this project, and then maybe we could go on to discuss the development of the idea and the different recitals that occur.
Well, I first attempted, I would say, to recite it here in this space where the performances take place today on the 5th of November 2005 as part of Chronic Epoch, which was a Beaconsfield exhibition. And it was an exhibition that marked their 10th year. So a lot of the work in that exhibition was, I suppose, you know, it's typical of Beaconsfield's work, radical, experimental, and not necessarily the kind of work that would find an airing in other kinds of spaces. So it's been really great to, you know, have the support of maybe Naomi Sidafan and David Crawford here at Beaconsfield, and to come back, to sort of return with the possibility of doing a collective version here today in exactly the same space.
There's something about that, though, isn't there, in that the work is set out to respond to the first call of the Declaration, which is to repeat and repeat and disseminate and distribute. So to come back to Beaconsfield is a clear sort of repetition within the cycle of the recitations, because what you've now decided is this year to conduct 60 recitations of the Declaration in response to being the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Yes.
So the work constantly repeats, but actually here at Beaconsfield, it's the first time you've repeated a site.
It is, absolutely. And I think that whole thing of that Jason has just said about dissemination and distribution, that's in that very first sentence of the Declaration's preamble. In fact, it's a sentence which isn't always printed or publicised, and it precedes the beginning of the Declaration. And it's the first call of the Declaration in 1948 was for it to be publicised, disseminated, displayed, read and expounded. And so the mechanism now of this performance is hopefully a generative one. It repeats itself. It repeats itself in different contexts. And, you know, hopefully it catalyses other people to initiate their own repetitions or variations, or take up initiatives to really kind of bring human rights, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, into their academic practice, their work practice, their lives in an active and living way. So, for instance, someone today was talking about how they could perhaps, with their children at school, discuss one article every day for 30 days. So the most important aspect, really, about the notion, I mean, one of the kind of ideas about performance art in the past, or in different, depending on the work, is that perhaps it's a one unique event. So with this performance, each event is unique because it's unique to who contributes. So, you know, the people who contributed today were stunning, and different languages, different kinds of expression. And people have chosen the articles they recite for their own reasons. So every configuration, every recitation is really particular. But at the same time, the text is the same. So there's a kind of a repeating, but inherent in that is the idea that the document belongs to us all, and we all take responsibility for it in our different ways and in our different contexts and lives to make it work.
There's also something else happens, though, isn't it? Because what occurs on each recitation is that either an individual, a project, a group, an organisation, or occasionally an institution, decide that they will instigate one of your recitations, and then they have to make a set of decisions around that, don't they?
Yes.
What are the decisions that they have to make, Monica, in order to make your work realisable? They have to think about what date it will coincide with, whether it coincides with another anniversary, so not solely the 60th anniversary of the UDHR, but, for example, in Manchester, your recitation coincided with the 190th anniversary of the Peterloo Massacre,
absolutely,
which was a massacre of people campaigning for parliamentary reform in public space. You also, the Women's Library, asked you to perform in relation to International Women's Day. So that kind of takes place around sort of dates. Other people decide on which sites to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody else who is not a parliamentarian negotiated that your recitation take place in the House of Commons.
Yes.
You know, so on each occasion, somebody else is taking responsibility not just for the declaration, but for the manifestation of your artwork.
Absolutely. And for the organising the mechanism for contacting other people who will agree to a site. So some organisations do that entirely independently, and so it's not until the performance happens that you actually know who those people are. So for instance, Free Word, which is a performance on Wednesday night, the reciters there, Free Word is organising that recitation.
Free Word is a new London-based centre for literacy, literature and freedom of expression, which is in Farringdon in the Old Guardian News offices, which is currently running, they've just recently opened and they're currently running a new festival on freedom of expression and the word. Yes, and Monica will be performing there on Wednesday the 23rd of September at 6:30 in the evening, with Free Word residents, tenants and associates. And the sort of resident organisations of Free Word include Index and Censorship, the Arvon Foundation for Creative Writing, Article 19, the Campaigning Group for Freedom of Expression, and other organisations for literature.
Nothing.
Including Penn, who are potentially responsible for Article 25 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights themselves.
Yeah. And what number is that within the series?
That will be number 15.
15,
in
yes.
In the series.
And yeah. Saying,
the aim is to do 16.
Yes.
And
do you have any more lined up?
Yes, there is a recitation taking place tomorrow, which is Sunday. So that's Sunday the 20th of September at the Tricycle Theatre in Kilburn, London. And that particular recitation takes place at 6:30 at night, immediately prior to the closing performance of a play by Kieran Barry, Stockwell. And Stockwell is a verbatim theatre piece edited directly from the court transcripts of the John Charles de Menezes death inquiry, which obviously, not the inquiry, but the death of de Menezes was the situation which catalysed Monica's performance in the first instance.
I was going to ask as well, this isn't dependent on being in London. Do you have other recitals arranged outside the city and where you've been invited?
Yeah, there are two sort of frameworks that instigate recitations. There's an open call situation. We regularly distribute organisations to individuals, projects, etc., requesting people to respond to undertake those tasks that we identified earlier on, to choose a place, to identify a set of co-reciters if they want a co-reciting version, because it's possible that Monica will recite solo in certain contexts. So a site, a date, and co-reciters. So Monica has recited in Manchester several recitations in the South West in her home area of Brighton. I live in Clapton here in London. I'm currently organising a recitation within my own physical geographic community in Clapton. There are a set of recitations scheduled for later the year in Scotland. And there have been requests from the United States and from other places in Europe for Monica's work.
Oh, and will some of these other projects also be in multiple languages?
And from the outset, one of the things that's been very important, and it's one of the great things about doing the collective performances rather than the solo performances, has been to kind of embody the declaration in as many different languages as possible. And that's one of the things that co-reciters bring to it. And the declaration is the most translated document in the world. It's translated into over more than 330 languages. And what's really fantastic when you kind of see it live, like today, is that someone may recite. In fact, there were a couple of articles which weren't recited in English at all. And so we had reciters in Polish, Tagalog, Serbian, Russian,
Italian,
Spanish,
British Sign Language,
and German. And those people in the reciters group,
Russian,
who have read the declaration, or anyone who's got a copy of the declaration in front of them. So we have the small UN booklets today. It doesn't matter if you're not hearing it in your own language. If you've read it in your own language and you hear it in another language, you know it.
And I think a case point for that was today, tying in with the concept of the deterioration of memory, when that young man stepped up and paused for thought and obviously lost his thought train, and you stepped in and instantly knew where to pick up.
Precisely, exactly, yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Actually, that was a very beautiful moment, because I think it gave everybody else permission to be a bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
Because that the emphasis on memory is about, just in a symbolic way within performance, to actually kind of just create that moment where you're on the spot, and can you be on the spot in a certain situation and be able to recall the declaration and use it as a kind of a way of strengthening a certain ethical position, and then deliver that in the real world, even if it's just to be able to make an appropriate comment in a certain situation where perhaps human rights are being denigrated, or it can be even not an extreme moment, but it's how do you in your ordinary and everyday life take responsibility for human rights? Because it's not just down to legislation, it is down to people, to the frailty of human agency to make human rights work. And if they're not part of your kind of mental framework and your processes of thought, then how can you call on them to help you to be able to kind of implement them in any given situation? I mean, one of the things that really motivated me to try and learn the declaration was not just the kind of situation of outrage and grief about what had happened to John Charles de Menezes, this innocent young man, but also the question, which has been a question which has been around for a very long time, which is that question of, to what extent someone in public service has the right or the capacity to exercise their own critical judgment when they're under authority, when they're under orders. And following orders has not been a defence since the end of the Second World War, since the Nuremberg Trials, I beg your pardon, It's not a defence. And certainly in the British Army and British Public Service, there is acknowledged latitude for individuals to be able to exercise their own ethical judgment in relation to orders. So my question was really one also of thinking, you know, it's all very well for us to say, oh, the police this or the police that, but we have to ask ourselves the same question, which is, how would we have handled that? How would we have handled a moment of pressure like that when you've got orders coming through to you? How do you, in that moment, exercise a different ethics? On what do you draw? And I had to admit to myself, when I asked myself that question, that I didn't know the Declaration of Human Rights. I didn't have it, if you like, in my back pocket or my head, to assist me to make a different decision. Hopefully, very few of us will find ourselves in such an extreme situation, but there are plenty of quite low-key situations where people's rights are challenged. And, you know, how, what do you draw on to deal with that in your everyday life or within your job or whatever? So that was like a really important question for me to address. And as Jason said, when I read the Declaration, I was really shocked at myself, because I think a lot of people, especially here in the UK, we have this kind of received idea that we don't need to worry about this. You know, it's people elsewhere in different countries that have to worry about human rights, but that's not the case. We do not know what our rights are. We're not, you know, we don't have them as part of our sort of mental framework, psyche. We don't know them.
That's true. I mean, my personal experience today here in recital, there were certain sections. I was like, oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh yeah, I know that. There was huge mental blanks for me, just in my personal experience. And what I'd say for you as an artist, have you found that with the various people you co-curated with or been involved with, is there an awareness about how lacking in public consciousness?
I think that operates in a variety of different frameworks, because each person who chooses to co-recite, or each organisation or individual who instigates, is fundamental to the project, that in order to resource it, realise it, or to become a co-reciter, you have to read the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That may be potentially for the first time ever. The second thing that we, in general, not always, but in general do, is make sure that the Declaration of Human Rights is available for everybody attending each recitation. Which means, again, that whilst listening, some individuals for the first time again may read it either individually on their own or collectively. We've seen people sit with their kids and run through the Declaration with their finger whilst the recitations are taking place. So in the instigating of the work and the decision to be a co-reciter, it's fundamental that one reads the Declaration. It's essential, it's built into the work, that it's essential that you do that in order to make any of the choices or decisions. And obviously one of the kind of fundamental decisions one makes is to step forward, step up, make oneself visible, and voice one's decision to have committed to memory a article or articles, and to join with others in order for your individual contribution to become a position and a collective contribution to make the whole Declaration visible from memory. Should anyone wish to become engaged in the project in order to organise a recitation within their community, within a place, or to coincide with a specific other anniversary date, or are interested in becoming a co-reciter with Monica at another recitation, the best way to get in touch with us is to email us, and the email address is all lowercase, and it is curator@acts, so plural, actsofmemory.net. So that's curator@actsofmemory.net.
December 10th, 1948, the General Assembly of the United Nations adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The Assembly called upon all member countries to publicise the text, causing it to be disseminated, displayed, read, and expounded, principally in schools and other educational institutions, without distinction based on the political status of countries or territories. Preamble. Whereas the recognition of the inherent dignity and equal and inalienable rights of every member of the human family is the foundation of justice, freedom, and peace in the world. Whereas disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of the world, and the advent of a world in which all human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief, and freedom from fear and want, is proclaimed as the highest aspiration of the common people. Whereas it is essential, if people are not to be compelled to have recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and oppression, that human rights shall be protected by the rule of law. Whereas it is essential to promote the development of friendly relations between nations. Whereas the peoples of the United Nations have, in the Charter, reaffirmed their faith in fundamental human rights, the dignity and worth of the human person, and the equal rights of men and women. They have determined to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedoms. Whereas the member states have pledged themselves to achieve, in association with the United Nations, the promotion of universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms. Whereas a common understanding of these rights and freedoms is of the greatest importance for the full realization of this pledge.
Now, therefore, the General Assembly proclaims this Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, to the end that every individual and every organ of society shall, keeping this declaration constantly in mind, shall strive through teaching and education to promote respect for these rights and freedoms, and through progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observance, both among the peoples of the United Nations and the peoples in territories under their jurisdiction. Article 1.
모든 인간은 태어날 때부터 자유로우며 그 존엄과 권리에 있어 동등하다. 인간은 선천적으로 이성과 양심을 가지고 있으므로 서로를 향해 존중하고 배려하는 마음으로 행동하는 것이 당연하다.
시에루디 라달슈카 스바보트니미 이 라트미 스바임 다스토인스키 이 프라박 아니 나달레 이 라즈무 이 소비츠유 이 라즈네 파스티파 Piocieni drug druga viduke bratstva.
All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. All are endowed with conscience and reason and should behave toward each other in a spirit of brotherhood. Article 2.
Ad ogni individuo spettano tutti i diritti e tutte le libertà enunciate nella seguente declarazione, senza distinzione alcuna per ragioni di razza, di sesso, di colore, di lingua o di opinione politica, sociale.
No distinction shall be made on the basis of the international, political, and jurisdictional status of the country or territory to which a person belongs, whether that be independent, trust, non-self-governing, or under any other limitation of sovereignty. Article 2.
Svako ima sva prava i slobode proklamovane u ovoj deklaraciji. Bez ikakvih razlika u pogledu rase, boje, jezika, veroispovesti, političkog ili drugog mišljenja, društvenog
ili političkog porekla, imovine, rođenja ili drugih okolnosti. Dalje, neće biti nikakvih razlika u pogledu političkog, pravnog ili međunarodnog statusa zemlje ili teritorije kojoj neko lice pripada. Bilo da je ona nezavisna, pod starateljstvom, ne samo upravna, ili da joj je suverenost na bilo koji drugi način ograničena.
Article 3.
Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and the security of person.
Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of person. Article 4. Article 3.
Everybody has the right to life, liberty, and security of person. Article 4.
Walang sinumang aalipinin o bubusabusin. Ipagbabawal ang anumang anyo ng pang-aalipin at ang pangangalakal ng alipin.
Ketään ei saa pitää orjana tai orjuutettuna. Kaikki orjuuden ja orjakaupan muodot on kiellettävä.
No one shall be held in slavery or servitude. Slavery and the slave trade shall be prohibited in all their forms. Article number 5. No one shall be subject to torture or to cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment.
Nessun individuo sarà sottoposto a tortura o a trattamento crudele, inumano o degradante. Article 6.
Everyone has the right to recognition everywhere as a person before the law.
Toda pessoa tem o direito de ser, em todos os lugares, reconhecida como pessoa perante a lei.
Article 7.
All are equal before the law, and all are entitled, without any discrimination, to equal protection by the law. All are entitled to equal protection against any discrimination in violation of this declaration and against any incitement to such violation. Article 8.
Everyone has the right to an effective remedy by the competent national tribunals for acts violating the fundamental rights granted to him by the Constitution or by law. Article 9.
Nessun individuo sarà arbitrariamente arrestato, detenuto o esiliato.
No one should be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. Article 10.
Everyone is entitled, in full equality, to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal as to the determination of their rights and obligations or of any criminal charge against them. Number 11.
Number 11, part 1. Everyone charged with a penal offence has the right to be presumed innocent until proved guilty, according to law, in a public trial, at which he has had all the guarantees necessary for his defence. 2. No one shall be held guilty for a penal offence on account of any act or omission which did not constitute a penal offence at the time, under national or international law, at the time when it was committed.
Article 12. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary interference with his privacy, family, home, or correspondence, nor to his honour or reputation. Everyone is entitled to protection under the law against such interference or attacks. Article 13.
Ogni individuo ha la libertà di movimento e di residenza entro i confini di ogni Stato. Ogni individuo ha il diritto di lasciare qualsiasi paese, compreso il proprio, e di rientrare nel proprio paese.
Toda persona tiene derecho a circular libremente y a elegir su residencia en el territorio de un Estado. Toda persona tiene derecho a salir de cualquier país, incluso el propio, y a regresar a su país.
Everyone has the right to freedom of movement and residence within the borders of each state. Everyone has the right to leave any country, including their own, and to return to their own country. Article 14.
Everyone has the right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. Article 14.2. This right may not be invoked in the case of prosecutions genuinely arising from non-political crimes or any acts contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. Article 15.
One. Everyone has the right to a nationality. Ado. Ni anfar gufarlamach. A nationtacht, a vanit den dinna, na fos an kiart, hon a nationtacht daru. Article 16.
Eins. Heiratsfähige Männer und Frauen haben ohne jede Beschränkung aufgrund der Rasse, der Staatsangehörigkeit oder der Religion das Recht zu heiraten und eine Familie zu gründen. Sie haben bei der Eheschließung, während der Ehe und bei deren Auflösung gleiche Rechte. 2. Eine Ehe darf nur bei freier und uneingeschränkter Willenseinigkeit der künftigen Ehegatten geschlossen werden. 3. Die Familie ist die natürliche Grundeinheit der Gesellschaft und hat Anspruch auf Schutz durch Gesellschaft und Staat. Artikel 17.
Everyone has the right to own property, both in association with others and alone. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of their property. Article 18.
Everyone has the freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes
the right to change his religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in community to manifest his belief or religion in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. Article 19.
Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers.
Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers.
Everyone has the right to the freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes the freedom to hold opinion without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers.
Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes the freedom to hold opinions without interference, to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas without interference in any medium, regardless of frontiers.
Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas and regardless of frontiers.
Omnes ios opinioni et verba dicenta individualiti habet quod ios ob opiniones suas inquitari in pact aqua ios pitendi divulgante sine finite conversazione per contalianis. Cognitatione quam cumque elocutione. Article number 20.
Punct pierwszy. Każdy człowiek ma prawo spokojnego zgromadzania i stowarzyszenia. Punkt drugi. Nikogo nie można zmuszać do należenia do stowarzyszenia. Article 21.
Everyone has the right to take part in the government of their country, directly or through freely chosen representatives. Article 21.2. Everyone has the right of equal access to public service in their country. Article 21.3. The will of the people shall be the basis of the authority of government. This will shall be expressed in periodic and genuine elections, which shall be held by universal suffrage and by secret vote or equivalent free voting procedures. Article 22. Everyone, as a member of society, has the right to social security and to the realization, through national effort and international cooperation, and according to the resources and organization of each state, of the economic, social, and cultural rights indispensable for their dignity and the full development of their personality. Article 23.
Everyone has the right to work, to free choice of employment, to protection against unemployment. Everyone, without any discrimination, has the right to equal pay for equal work. Everyone who works has the right to just and favorable remuneration, ensuring for himself and his family an existence worthy of human dignity. And supplemented, if necessary, by other means of social protection. Everyone has the right to join or form trade unions for the protection of his interests. Article 24.
Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitation of working hours and periodic holidays with pay.
Jeder hat das Recht auf Erholung und Freizeit und insbesondere auf eine vernünftige Begrenzung der Arbeitszeit und regelmäßigen bezahlten Urlaub.
Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitation of working hours and periodic periods of holiday with pay. 25.
Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitations on working hours and periodic holidays with pay. Article 25.
Article 24 still. Everyone has the right for rest and leisure, including reasonable limitations of working hours and periodic holidays with pay. Article 25.1, I believe.
Beyond his control. Article 25.2. Motherhood and childhood are entitled to special care and assistance.
All children, whether born in or out of wedlock, shall enjoy the same social protection. Article 26.
Everyone has the right to education. Education shall be free, at least in the elementary and fundamental stages. Elementary education shall be compulsory. Technical and professional education shall be made generally available, and higher education shall be equally accessible to all on the basis of merit. Education shall be directed to the full development of the human personality and to the strengthening of respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms. It shall promote understanding, tolerance, and friendship among all nations, racial or religious groups, and shall further the activities of the United Nations for the maintenance of peace. Parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. Article 27.
Everyone has the right to freely participate in the cultural life of the community, to enjoy the arts, and to share in scientific advancement and its benefits. Part two. Everyone has the right to protection of their moral and material interests resulting from a scientific, literary, and artistic production of which he is the author.
One. Everyone has the right to freely participate in the cultural life of the community, to enjoy the arts, and to share in scientific advancements and their benefits. Two. Everyone has the right to the protection of any moral or material interests resulting from any work, scientific, literary, or artistic, of which they are the author. Article 28.
Každý člověk má právo na sociální i mezinárodní pořádek, při kterém práva i svobody izložené v nastojáště mohou být plnosti asušlestvení.
Everyone is entitled to a social and international order in which the rights and freedoms laid forth in this declaration can be fully realized.
Everybody is entitled in a social and international order through which these rights may be fully realized. 29.
Article 29.1. Everyone has duties to the community in which alone the full development of their personality is possible. Article 29.2. In the exercise of our rights and freedoms, no one shall be subjected to any limitations other than those determined by law, solely for the purpose of securing due recognition of the rights and freedoms of others, and of meeting the just requirements of morality, public order, and the general welfare in a democratic society.
29 part 3. These rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. Article 30.
Keine Bestimmung dieser Erklärung darf dahin ausgelegt werden, dass sie für einen Staat, eine Gruppe oder eine Person irgendein Recht begründet, eine Tätigkeit auszuüben oder eine Behandlung zu begehen, welche die Beseitigung der in dieser Erklärung verkündeten Rechte und Freiheiten zum Ziel hat.
Nada en esta declaración podrá ser interpretado de ninguna manera por el Estado o por el individuo o por la persona para suprimir cualquiera de los derechos y libertades proclamados en esta declaración.
Nothing in this declaration may be interpreted as implying for any state, group or person the right to perform any act or to engage in any activities aimed at the destruction of the rights and freedoms set forth herein.